Welcome to this special edition of the American Society of Hematology podcast for the hematologist, ASH News and Reports. In this installment, Dr. Ruben Mesa leads a conversation in honor of Hispanic Heritage Month in an interview with Dr. Diego Adrianzen Herrera and Dr. Joanna Robles. They share their experiences as hematologists of Hispanic and Latinx heritage and discuss the role of mentorship and ASH in their work, what led them to their careers in medicine, and what they as individuals can do to ensure the Hispanic and Latinx community has a voice in the field. Contributing a special introduction to the conversation is Dr. Belinda Avalos, an outspoken leader in diversity, equity, and inclusion in hematology. Dr. Belinda Avalos specializes in hematology and medical oncology at Atrium Health Levine Cancer Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina. She is a former chair of the ASH Committee on Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion and is a current counselor on the ASH Executive Committee. Dr. Ruben Mesa is a professor of medicine and the executive director of Mays Cancer Center at UT Health San Antonio MD Anderson Cancer Center and is a former member of the ASH Committee on Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. Dr. Diego Adrianzen Herrera is an assistant professor of medicine in the Division of Hematology and Oncology at the Lerner College of Medicine at the University of Vermont and a member of the ASH DEI Program Subcommittee and ASH MRI Program Study Section. Dr. Joanna Maria Robles is an assistant professor of pediatrics and member of the Duke Cancer Institute at Duke University and Duke University Health System. She is a member of the ASH MRI Program Study Section and MRI Program Subcommittee. Please note, ASH does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, physicians, products, procedures, or opinions, and disclaims any representation, warranty, or guarantee as to the same. Thank you for listening and enjoy the conversation.
Hello, and welcome to ASH's 2022 celebratory podcast for Hispanic Heritage Month. My name is Belinda Avalos. I'm a professor of medicine and senior advisor to the president of the Levine Cancer Institute, Atrium Health, in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm a first-generation Mexican-American. My father immigrated to the United States in his 30s to pursue a surgery residency, met my mother. They had six children, and we grew up in a rural southeastern Ohio town with my abuelita. As a medical student, I had the incredible opportunity of working with Dr. Bertha Barrancli, a Peruvian hematologist and dynamo known for her work in hairy cell leukemia. She was a great mentor and role model and inspired me to go into hematology. I've served ASH in a variety of volunteer activities, including its Minority Recruitment Initiative for more than 10 years, and previously served as chair of the Committee on Promoting Diversity, now known as the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee. I currently serve as a counselor on the Executive Committee. ASH has been a major leader and model for other societies in promoting diversity, equity, and inclusion. The creation of multiple research awards programs for underrepresented minority medical students, residents, graduate students, fellows, and junior faculty has impacted the society's membership, committee composition, speakers, and leaders, and grown the Hispanic hematology community. I've truly been inspired by all the progress that's been made, and I can't emphasize enough how critical it is that we continue to celebrate and highlight the work and accomplishments of our Hispanic hematology colleagues. It's my great pleasure today to introduce you to Drs. Ruben Mesa, Diego Adrianzen Herrera, and Joanna Robles. They are all ASH volunteer leaders who are paving the way in the field and in diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Hello, my name is Ruben Mesa, and I'm the Executive Director of the Mays Cancer Center at UT Health at San Antonio MD Anderson. And really excited by this podcast that ASH is putting on, really celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month, but also taking a little deeper dive in terms of some of the experiences that both myself and my colleagues, Dr. Diego Arianze Herrera and Joanna Robles, have had as hematologists, why they joined the field, and how all of us as Hispanic hematologists, how we take those life experiences, both in our areas of focus as well as our mission and what we're trying to do in hematology. But first, Joanna, why don't you introduce yourself, tell everyone a little bit about yourself.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Joanna Robles. I am an assistant professor of pediatrics and pediatric hematology oncology at Duke University.
Wonderful. And Diego.
Hi, I'm Diego Adrianson Herrera. I am from Peru. Migrated to the U.S. for my medical training, and I'm an assistant professor of medicine focusing on hematologic malignancies at the University of Vermont.
Wonderful. So, Joanna, why don't we begin with yourself? And so how did you get interested first in medicine, but specifically, how did you end up as a hematologist?
So I always like to start off, it's kind of silly, but when I was in middle school, I remember watching a Lifetime movie about a young child that had leukemia and was so fascinated by that. I really was drawn to the idea of helping those that were going through some of the darkest moments of their lives. And so I always had that idea that I wanted to be a pediatric oncologist. As I grew older and I went to college and got exposure to actually seeing what medicine was, I volunteered at Moffitt Cancer Center. And I was specifically working at a sedation suite where they would prepare people for their procedures under sedation, such as endoscopies and bone marrow biopsies and aspirates. And remember how dark everything felt, but that there were glimpses of hope through the interactions that these patients were having with their physicians and with other healthcare workers. And as I kept going through my training, I recognized that I kept being drawn back to the hematology oncology world, and specifically ended up in pediatric hematology oncology because I wanted to be a part of families as they faced a difficult journey after a cancer diagnosis or after learning about a lifelong blood disorder.
Well, wonderful. You know, hematology is a special calling, and I would say pediatric hematology even more so. You know, the challenges that both their children and their family members face is enormous. I remember my rotations through Peds Hemonc was rewarding, but boy, that was a deeply challenging thing, being a dad with my own children going through that. So kudos for everything that you and your colleagues do. It really is a very special calling. And now, Diego, how about yourself? How did you end up in hematology?
Well, first, I would probably start with medicine. It was a family thing. We all know in our culture, we value our grandparents a lot. So my grandfather was a doctor, and I grew up very close to him. So it was a family calling initially. Actually, out of a cousin, six of us are doctors in different areas. So that was the first way I was introduced into the field, just growing up as a little kid, seeing my grandfather, how much he was respected in the community, how he helped his patients. And I just wanted to do the same and sort of emulate what he was doing. A little later in life, I actually had a first degree cousin that was unfortunately diagnosed with AYA, acute lymphoblastic leukemia, which I witnessed him suffering from and going through treatments when I was a teenager myself. This was back in Peru, and that's where I saw the limitations of what we had available in terms of treatment and just the disparities that sometimes we have in Latin American countries. And that just sparked a interest for myself to not only go to medical school, but probably focus on that area. And so when I actually went to medical school and I decided to pick up a specialty after internal medicine, by then I had definitely consolidated the fact that that was the calling, that I wanted to do blood cancers. I wanted to help those patients. I wanted to have patients like my cousin was at some point. You know, I was fortunate to have a lot of good mentors during training and felt natural. So,
well, wonderful. We'll get back to that mentorship question in just a second. Joanna, why don't you share with us, you know, all of us certainly follow mentors along our path. In my own experience, I was a first-year medical student interested in cancer kind of broadly, but really had a very impactful mentor in Ayuru Teferi, who was a very energetic individual, deeply passionate about hematology, taught her second year hematology course, and really got me interested in the field, in research. And there was a very, very dynamic group at Mayo, and the mentorship of him and many others brought myself and many others into the field. What did that mentorship journey look like for yourself?
Mentorship has definitely been important a part of my journey. I was very fortunate to encounter several really significant mentors throughout my training and my career. Thinking back to when I was in medical school and still trying to kind of figure out where direction I wanted to go, I would say one of the significant mentors that I had was Dr. Irmel Ayala, who's a pediatric hematologist. I was a fourth year medical student, and I was rotating in pediatric hematology oncology at All Children's Hospital. And I remember rotating with her and her kind of just taking me under her wing and trying to teach me all things hematology. She is focused on classical hematology. And when I was then a pediatric resident, I also worked under her for a couple of years as I got to choose a second continuity clinic. Just watching how she practiced, watching how she connected so well with her patients, and now looking back, appreciating that she was also Latina pediatric hematologist, being able to have that type of role model, somebody that looked like me in pediatric hematology, was really important, and I think really helped gear me towards that direction.
You know, it's really a critical piece. For many of us, mentorship is crucial, but it's also, I think, very important for individuals as they're developing along a career in medicine or sometimes even prior to that, to have mentors that look like them, that sound like them, that speak Spanish, that again can have similar life experiences. And that's true with African Americans or Native Americans or others. I think the diversity of the faculty is critical, both I think for training, but also really for our patients. You know, I'm the director of a center that is in a region that is 70% Latino. You know, and for acute leukemia patients to be able to tell me directly in their own language what they're feeling, have their questions answered, and not to feel condescended to sometimes because their English isn't great is a very powerful thing. Now, Diego, clearly you mentioned your grandfather, but additional mentors that really were influential for you along the way, and were any of them Latino?
Yes, definitely. I would consider my grandfather the first mentor, although I was a very little kid at the time, but he did help me through at least the first part of my medical education. When I first got here to the United States, I actually was recruited by a physician called Alejandro Pregolini from Argentina in a program in New York City. This was back in residency. And it was very important for me as an international medical graduate, just forging a path in the U.S., coming here for the first time, at least for being a physician or for practicing, to have that role of someone who was successful. He was the associate program director. He was in internal medicine, but he focused a lot on blood disorders, had a passion for hematology. And then during residency, just from my very first couple of years, I got to work at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in the BMT department with Sergio Giralt. And so he sort of took me on in a very large, very complex, multidisciplinary research group. And I was the new resident that just came up, and I was trying to look for research opportunities on the side while I was completing my residency. And he definitely helped me a lot in terms of really committing to the field. I did not become a bone marrow transplanter, but I did go into hematologic malignancies. And he was instrumental for me to then go on for fellowship. And in fellowship, I had some other mentors, not necessarily Hispanic, but I would definitely point out to those two key roles. International medical graduates in these two very successful, top of the field guys, and starting working with them very early on definitely forged my career.
Fabulous. Now, Joanna, Ash certainly plays, I think, a critical role in really helping us feel like a community. I could share another very influential thing in my career, even as an internal medicine resident, was the time I first had a chance to present at ASH. And the excitement of the organization, how passionate people were for hematology, regardless of the field that they were focusing on, from classical to transplant to peds to thrombosis to malignant, it was infectious. With many wonderful structures, organizations, committees, and other parts that really engaged people in a way that was fun and very engaging. How about yourself? What role has ASH played in your career?
I would definitely echo that that environment of first going to ASH and having all of these hematologists that are leaders in the field around you was definitely inspiring. And as I've continued within this field of hematology, I have definitely seen more of a role that ASH has played in my career. I was very fortunate to be accepted to the ASH Clinical Research Training Institute, which I started last year. And I cannot speak enough about what a positive impact it has had on my career, on the collaborations that I've been able to form, and on the new mentorship relationships with leaders in the field that I never would have thought I would have met and that would be actually invested in my success and think that my research is important. So I cannot speak enough for the positive impact that ASH has had. And I just feel really blessed to be a part of this organization.
No, I would certainly echo that. You know, having been faculty at CRTI for 4 years, it was one of the most rewarding things I'd had the chance to participate in. You know, such an amazing program, both for the individuals that go through the program, but also for the faculty. So much energy, people excited about becoming clinical researchers, so much we learn from one another. And again, there's this infectious enthusiasm that together we can make a difference, that our field matters, that we're helping patients. It is so rewarding. Now, Diego, how about other ASH stories from your perspective?
I want to echo everything Joanna said. I also attended my first ASH annual meeting as a resident, and I was just so overwhelmed by the enthusiasm. I particularly want to point out that they do a very good job at focusing on specific groups that I found helpful to be part of over time. For example, the first time I went in and it was this ASHAPalooza for trainees, this whole half a day dedicated to us. And it was very rewarding to share with other people who were new, maybe had not been in the meeting before. And then I also want to point out that they do have specific sessions about promoting minorities in hematology. And these are equally scientifically sound and very much focused on diversity in general, but there are a fair amount of those that are focused on the Hispanic culture specifically. And I found those tremendously rewarding to attend and be a part of in annual meetings over time since I became involved with ASH. In general, ASH has had a very positive impact in my career as well. It was the first abstract achievement award I got. And we are actually in the same class with Joanna for CRTI. So I cannot agree more that the opportunities I've had from that program have been tremendous, and the ability to network with all these amazing leaders in the field has been fantastic.
Wonderful. So obviously we're gathering a bit because this is Hispanic Heritage Month, with Latinos being kind of a subset of how diversity is important for us in terms of the people that are becoming healthcare providers, researchers, making a difference, as well as being aware in parts of communities so that the scientific questions that are asked are appropriate and broad-based. I myself am one of the first Latinos who has been an NCI Cancer Center director, and I try to bring that perspective to how can I try to make a difference both for my community and region, for our cancer center, but across the cancer and hematology world? Now, I know that each of you have a range of things that you're involved with. What sort of things are you involved with really as it relates to trying to ensure that the Latino community has a voice in this field?
So my research actually focuses on limited English proficiency and how that impacts outcomes within hematologic malignancies and stem cell transplantation in pediatrics. And one important piece of my work is listening to the voice of the patients. And in my field, the caregivers play a very large role. So trying to hear their perspective on this issue. Obviously, given that I am bilingual in English and Spanish, my focus within the limited English proficiency aspect is focusing on those that are Spanish speaking, because I can communicate directly with those caregivers. And I have really tried to make sure that I incorporate qualitative work within my research, and specifically interviewing caregivers to hear their voice, understand how they feel about things, rather than just reporting out the numbers, but actually knowing what are they saying, what is important to them, and what do they want to see us doing in the field.
No, that's wonderful. And it's really such critical work. The decision for undergoing a stem cell transplant is probably the most complex decisions an individual can face. And there undoubtedly is a strong intrinsic bias for someone that has a language gap to try to get them there in terms of fully understanding the procedure, where it fits, deciding on that. There probably is underutilization in our community for a range of reasons. We know that there are a range of significant health disparities as it relates to Latinos and Hispanics, as it relates to cancer and hematologic diseases and malignancies, from access, from difficulties with copay, to being in rural areas, and again, difficulty with access, language, and cultural pieces. In San Antonio, we have certainly found, again, Diego, you had mentioned that we're a very family-oriented community, and we are. That for us to really have good informed consent, really consideration for a clinical trial or even starting a therapy, you know, there's always a family health expert. And that may be Enrique, who is the pharmacy tech at CVS. It could be a physician, could be a nurse. But whoever that person is, if that person's not in the room, Abuela is not going on the trial. She wants to know what that person thinks. That's critical. So we do kind of the en bloc informed consent. The whole family needs to be there, particularly with complicated decisions, whether that be standard of care or clinical trial. But how about yourself? Same question. And I know you're involved in areas of outcomes and others. How are you looking at this issue of being Hispanic Latino as it relates to the field?
So, you know, I'm trying to do my part. I am a member of the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Program Subcommittee at ASH. And I'm really focused on early Latino medical students and residents participating in the ASH Minority Recruitment Initiative, which I learned about when I became part of the subcommittee. And I just find that it's a fantastic resource and highly underutilized, as evidenced by the fact that I hadn't heard about it before. And then in the larger sense, my research is on large database analysis for in health outcomes disparities. So in that, I'm also focused particularly in disparities among Hispanics. So working with large data sets to really differentiate what are the limitations and what are the factors that are associated with poor outcomes in Hispanic patients with hematologic conditions, which we know are probably associated with issues like social determinants of health and other social variants rather than something biologic. So for me, it's very important to describe those differences and promote awareness of them.
Very helpful. Now, as we look at, you know, considering, you know, what are things that are important to us, all three of us as part of the Latino and Hispanic community in hematology, there are many potential things. I'll throw one out there for myself. One of the things I'm deeply passionate about is adequate representation on clinical trials, you know, and really for two reasons. I had the chance to testify before Congress earlier this year as it related to legislation that would mandate that trials should reflect the populations that they're treating. And the reason for this, I think, is twofold. First, it's about social justice, meaning I want that option. Because we do clinical trials because we're trying to expand the options for patients. So that is an opportunity for patients. So if you have a refractory mantle cell lymphoma, I want patients, regardless of where they live, regardless of certainly race, ethnicity, or access, to be able to benefit from a trial that may help with that disease. But second, it's about understanding the safety and efficacy of those therapies. We are not all the same. There are some very important things, whether it be around toxicity, metabolism of drugs, differences in terms of targets, and other things that are really important in terms of safety and efficacy. So clinical trials, clearly one. But Joanna, how about yourself? What are some other things that are deeply relevant as it relates to the Latino community in hematology?
I would definitely agree that representation in clinical trials is key. Another important aspect, and Diego alluded to this, is trying to make sure that we recruit and that we try to increase representation within the field of hematology, just starting very early on in undergraduate and medical school, and trying to increase that representation so that patients can see physicians that look like themselves and that they can relate to, and they will be able to put more trust into them. And one of the things that, you know, my patients have said, like, it's so different being able to speak to you directly. And that just innately brings this automatic trust from the get-go. And so trying to work with different committees, I'm also part of that subcommittee of the Minority Recruitment Initiative to try to help to increase representation within our field, I think is key.
Wonderful. What about yourself, Diego? Other things that you think are critical?
So one thing I would say is representation among healthcare providers. So I would say that's very important for me. There's recent data coming out of a fantastic group led by Narhus Duma, which you may be aware of. And she's pretty much identified that we're about 16.8% of the population, but only 4.7% of the hematology oncology workforce. So I witnessed this personally when I trained in New York City and the Bronx. Sometimes the PI for the trial or the big shock attending making the decisions on rounds, we didn't have enough or any really representation about in terms of Hispanic attendings or investigators. Yet our population was heavily, heavily Hispanic, I would say at least 50%. So sometimes it took me, as you know, first year fellow, you go talk to them because you can speak in Spanish and convince them that this is the best procedure to do or this is the best trial to participate on. To me, that's very important because I witnessed it firsthand what the disparity was in terms of the populations we care for and the workforce. Not that there's anything wrong with non-Hispanic physicians, but it would certainly help.
I think it's a key point. I think it's really about it being a diverse workforce. Obviously, we're representing the Latino group, but whether African-American, Native American, Asian Pacific Islander, or again, any number of ways that again, it should be representative of really our society so that people can really relate, whether that be on gender or sexual orientation or race or ethnicity. It's the richness of what makes us who we are. So the final point that we'll touch base on and we'll conclude this wonderful discussion is other key things in terms of honoring this month, this Hispanic Heritage Month. All throughout there to start with, one thing that I think continues to grow in importance is the diversity within diversity. Meaning, as much as these are almost census level buckets, you know, you're Hispanic, you're not Hispanic, we recognize that the Hispanic world is incredibly diverse, genetically, culture, certainly dialects and language, you know, and many other pieces. There have been very important observations that have been made. In the breast cancer world, you know, they identified that in Latinas who had indigenous blood, there was an estrogen receptor mutation that was protective against breast cancer that's not present in Latinas of European descent. And that's being studied, again, to try to better understand the biological underpinnings of the disease. So there's a lot of diversity within diversity. We clearly have seen that with African Americans. Africa is a very heterogeneous continent. Again, a lot of different migrations, forced or natural, different colonization. So there's incredible diversity that may have incredible implications in terms of these things, both in terms of genetics and culture. But Joanna, any final thoughts as it relates to Hispanic Heritage Month in hematology?
I would echo that. I definitely agree with embracing that diversity within our Hispanic and Latino community. And I am appreciative that organizations such as ASH are taking the time to recognize the importance of our heritage and embracing that diversity.
Wonderful. Diego, final thought?
No, I also echo the fact that it's very important that organizations such as ASH highlight the importance of diversity. Very grateful to be a part of it.
Well, on behalf of my colleagues and I, we hope that this has been a helpful podcast as we celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month, and particularly its special tie to hematology. Our thanks to ASH for giving us this opportunity to share some of these thoughts with you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast of the American Society of Hematology. For more information, visit www.hematology.org. Subscribe via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Join us in November for more from the hematologist, ASH News and Reports.